morning. Today is Monday, September the 26th, 269th day of the new year. Joining us this morning, Mr. Arkley's in town, people. Shudder and shake.
Good morning, Bri. How are you, buddy?
I am recovering from yesterday's heat.
Yeah, that was
Were you guys
great.
Up in the hills yesterday?
No, we were in town.
I'm just wondering how hot it was in Willow Creek, if it was as hot.
Low 90s.
Oh, is that it?
Yeah, it wasn't scorching.
Didn't make it over then.
No, but Redding did, but we didn't.
Yeah, well, so, good. But good for Redding.
It was 82 degrees. Yeah. A warm wind last night.
Yeah, yeah.
It was great.
Oh, boy. Rough weekend. Oh. Interesting evening. So we'll probably touch on all those bases, but you've got two quotes today.
Two quotes from the late, great Arnold Palmer, who should be an inspiration to all of us. He did it well. First quote, "The most rewarding things you do in life are often the ones that look like they cannot be done." Isn't that great?
Yeah.
The next one, and I really love this one, "I am not much for sitting around and thinking about the past or talking about the past. What does that accomplish? If I can give people something to think about, like the future, that's better use of my time." Isn't that wonderful?
Yeah. You know what I think, for me, the cool thing right now is, yeah, he redid the face of golf. Made it, every man, or more of an every man sport. But he was just so engaged in so many areas. And particularly, and I guess this is where, we can start. Two schools in business. One is your rut is very narrow and extraordinarily deep, right? So yep. You may not know a whole lot, but what you know inside
and out. That's the niche theory.
And the other is a generalist, where you may not go too deep, but you do an awful lot of things and you broaden the brand, so to speak. Success in both areas, spectacular failures in both areas. He was obviously the generalist, or more of a generalist, and taking advantage of that and what his name has. Do we see in business a tendency to become more of the generalist and broaden out, or the perceived need to get really narrow and just have a trench?
I think that's a great question, but I think what you see are two different, the larger companies, the Amazons, the Facebooks.
Used to be P&G.
Yeah, yeah, right. Well, they still are. They're broad. They can afford to broaden. But right now, I think most people and most money is being made at being kind of a category killer in a very narrow niche, and then they sell it.
So more rifle shots than shotguns.
I think so, yeah.
Not always been the case.
Has not always been the case.
Just the economics of our time right now?
The economics of our time, in my mind, require quite focused investment.
Time, talent, and resources?
Time, talent, resources, and timing.
Oh, that thing.
Oh, that one.
It's 8:19.
You've never heard us before, because we're something brand new. It's called Destination Radio. If you live in Ferndale or Gold Beach, Blue Lake or Klamath, Brookings or Eureka, you'll be looking for someplace different to take the family, something special to do next weekend. The best destinations for day trips and overnights, for hiking or biking, for beachcombing or birdwatching, and you'll turn to us for ideas, because you're the reason we're here, to help you find your close-to-home destination. Stay, play, and relax with us, Destination Radio.
Good morning, KINS. News and information time. It's 8:24. Speaking of timing, there it is.
There it was. Perfect.
We're back talking shop this morning with Rob Arkley. Rob, so the pressures that are now requiring businesses to go narrow and deep, what are the canaries to allow more of a generalist approach, or for someone who has, let's say, abilities in financing, to then take those knowledge skill sets and apply them to something else and get that same or similar ROI?
Cash flow. It's expensive to go into a new niche. And lenders, banks are not lending outside of your niche. They don't encourage out-of-the-box financing. To the contrary, they discourage it, which leaves you with either a hedge fund or a private equity partner. And so I'm not saying that you can't with an established business.
But then it becomes even more risky.
Well, there's perceived.
To go out.
You have to package it so that you do not seem like you're recreating the wheel, and you say, this is actually organic for us, and here's why. And I'm doing it right now on a fairly significant deal. And, you know, once you have a track record in one area, there is a little lower bar, but if you go, the banks won't touch it.
Well, if you decide to go into, let's say, vodka manufacturing, it seems to be the trendy thing right now, instead of micro beers, right? Vodka?
Yeah.
Okay. There's probably not a whole lot of transferable between what you guys do and what is done there.
It's a pure VC move. It is so non-starter, and all you can bring is capital. You don't have expertise. You can say I'm hiring expertise, but that's speculative. It's very difficult.
And transitory, too. If they get too good, somebody's going to hook them and take them to their shop.
You try to.
You never got into buying wineries, did you?
No. We have a vineyard, but we don't.
That would be probably a parallel.
I know, and we're looking at actually doing some private label wine over the next couple of years when Constellation, who leases our vineyard, lease wears off. But
you're not looking at big time
absolutely
production
not.
And all that kind
no,
of stuff.
No, no, no. It's a separate business, and it's competitive, and I don't think any of the boutique breweries are having any fun right now. There's been a ton of capital that went into it, and I think it's hard with volumes. It's hard to buy space in stores. I think there's nothing right now that isn't priced to perfection and quite competitive.
So as we see in the retail sector, consolidations and refocusing, wouldn't the nature, abhorring a vacuum, wouldn't that be sitting there for somebody to backfill in and say, okay, I can do that. I can specialize deep in that thing that they're just retrenching from. Step in and hit a home run. Why aren't we seeing that happening?
You are, and it just doesn't make the press.
So it's at a low level at this point.
Well, no, there's a lot of consolidation going on. There's a lot of balance sheet tailoring where companies that tried something are getting out. There's a lot of specialization. And whereas I am fairly dubious on PE and hedge funds, they can be very difficult to deal with. And, you know, they are just tough. They do provide that function. And so you see a lot of businesses really morphing into divesting. The big divesting play right now in the world is Europe, where they are so over-levered and they're having to change what they're doing. And so they're stepping back off as the EU dissolves before our very eyes.
So is that the market changing, or is that the risk structure in the market changing?
There's no difference.
If demand stays constant.
Okay.
Okay, the market isn't changing.
It's a debt. It's a debt resolution. You've got too much debt. You know, same could be said for the U.S. government. At some point, you're going to have services have to be cut because there just
can't afford it anymore.
There just isn't enough money.
Yeah.
And so, but I see that happening in Europe. We're in pretty good shape and further along the curve than a lot. I think we've seen free trade as we've known it. I think we've seen the high point in that, and you're going to see more protectionist policies. Both Clinton and Trump are exhibiting that tendency in our country. So I think we've seen the high water mark of free trade. You're going to see more protectionism going forward. How far it goes is a different issue. I'm no longer a total disciple of free trade because I just think it doesn't exist.
It's theoretical to start with.
Well, that's true. But it's also a macro concept that works, but it leaves too many pockets of immeasurable pain. Look at Detroit. Look at all these other manufacturing.
Yeah, the celebration with Ford taking one of their little pocket cars, cars that fit in your pocket,
yeah,
to down to Mexico, and they were saying, yeah, but we're still making trucks here.
Well,
so that's still jobs leaving.
What do you tell the people who are out of a job? I mean, that's part of the problem is you don't want to become Europe, but at the same time, free trade is something that can't be blindly adhered to in my mind.
NAFTA, good or bad for its existence so far?
Well, you can read as many opinions on that as you want, and every study makes, instead of proving their point, ridicules the others, instead of a positive empirical study. So I don't think NAFTA has had the Ross-Perot overall effect, but the United States business person, given a free train, has been able to adapt and grow.
It's 8:30.
What could we do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We are returning with Mr. Arkley, talk shop presented by CDH Painting and by Redec. Rob, obviously the big thing tonight, today is today, with the debates, everybody seems to have an opinion of who has to do what and who, how we're going to determine what the winner is and who the winner is, and tonight could redefine the rest of the way out.
Okay. I don't think we are going to be asked to, we will be discouraged from fixing our own opinions of this. This is going to be a narrative created by folks like you in the media telling us who won.
Like me.
Yeah, I just thought there's no shot like a cheap shot.
Yeah, okay.
But we're going to be discouraged from, they're going to create a narrative and stick to it because, let's face it, Hillary is one thing and Trump is another. Trump has accomplished a lot. He's done things. Hillary's kind of a career unaccomplished person who happens to have a husband who became president.
Is medical a legit concern?
Of course it is. And it's a big deal with her.
Would FDR have been elected?
No.
Changing standards or double standards?
I think there's no doubt we have changing standards. Look, gay marriage is an easy one. We have changing standards of what's acceptable. Of course, FDR was a powerful communicator, and so we would see. I just don't think Hillary is healthy. I don't think anyone objectively can look at her tapes and that and see that she is. I think more than anything, what I like is to see the business class, the philanthropist class like he is, getting this far against the clear political class, be it Hillary,
that tension is still there.
Or be it the 17 people who ran, all of whom were part of the political class. We need to come to grips with the people that have built this country are not the politicians. It's the business people. Trump has demonstrable success. He even failed once or twice and nonetheless clawed his way back. And so he's says a lot of what's great about America. His kids, magnificent, they love him. And I guess Chelsea's great. I really don't understand or know her. She's not an effective campaigner for her mom, from what I hear.
Well, it's not really what she was ever... I mean, it's intriguing for me to see how families are always being treated. Either they're hands-off totally, okay, fine, or they're really engaged.
Yeah.
But the standard for the kids is somehow different. You know, the Kennedy kids were treated different. Yeah,
they were a bunch of screw-ups, though.
Well,
and I think the main thing is I'm not a Chelsea fan. I am a fan of the Trump kids. They're pretty outstanding, and you can talk about Trump's divorces, but those kids came out great, and they love him, and I mean, our daughter...
It seems like they're resources on the positive side, but if they're not politically inclined, okay.
I guess
most kids aren't.
I guess that's right. Well, there's a political class out there, and what I hope is we're blowing it up.
How will you know? Will it be at the gubernatorial level that we're getting regular guys running?
I think if
Senate's congressmen?
I think if Trump wins, it sends a signal to everybody. You've already seen it, like in Florida, Rick Scott, the governor. He is a successful businessman, and he was not part of the political class, ran and won. And so I like seeing that. I think the guy who's positioning himself to do something is Mark Cuban. He feels like someone who's getting interested in doing politics. And I would encourage him to stick with...
his TV show?
No, I don't think it's...
Not his basketball team.
He was obviously a brilliant technology guy.
Yeah,
his basketball team is exceedingly mediocre. And so
but consistent.
So he should... they are consistently miserable. And so... but it's a high-tension debate. It'll be fun. I'm going to go down to Seamus and have a steak and watch Monday Night Football. And Sherry is probably going to be in a fetal position, drinking a glass of wine and
yelling.
Periodically
yelling.
Yelling, I hate you. But it's something that I think everyone should watch. I think it's going to be good. I think the press is desiring to shape the conclusion already, so it's interesting.
With that, and I don't think anybody is disagreeing that the media is feeling left out, is there going to be a dismissal of what the talking heads report? Good, bad, or indifferent? I'm hoping that people are going to make their own determination whether they're listening, oh, by the way, 6 o'clock to KINS, or watching on whatever TV network that they want to, that perhaps we're going to use our own litmus test rather than allowing
others to
define.
That's their greatest fear.
Of course it is.
And, you know, Trump has brilliantly talked to the blacks and said correctly, hey, folks, you've gone backwards under Obama. How's the last 50 years worked for you? Your infrastructure in your inner cities is broken. Your kids are going to jail. They're not educated. Try something else. If you're not going to, then don't complain, because we have different ideas. And so I think it's a wonderful example of what a democracy should do.
Now, I've heard over the weekend that the independents are starting to settle, and that there's a greater tendency towards Trump than there is towards Clinton with some of the independents. It doesn't matter what they're doing. We're still 6 weeks out.
Well, I don't know. And that's why the elections are being run. I was in North Carolina a couple weeks ago, and whereas we're kind of agnostic as to what's happening, boy, you should hear the airwaves there. They are blanketing that state.
I'm so jealous. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:42.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka.
Good morning, KINS. News and information time is 8:47. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Rob Arkley. Rob, what are you looking for tonight? One way or the other, what are you hoping? Clarity? Anything? Survival of both candidates? What are the real basic things that you're looking for? Not content, necessarily.
I guess what I'm looking for is for people to see Hillary for what she is. She's not well. She's obviously either immensely arrogant or dumb with this email scandals. I'd like her to see her for not being a truthful person, which she's not. Trump's successful in the most competitive context in the world, because if you want to play New York real estate, it's hard. And it's we've owned property there, and it's amazing how sharp-elbowed it is. And so he's a smart, creative guy. I just think...
Does it translate?
I don't know.
Over the media?
I don't know. Well, this is a brilliant guy. I mean, he's really schooled the media and gotten more earned free time than anybody. And he has people I know.
Is he spending in North Carolina?
Yes.
Okay.
And boy, is he.
I mean, you don't see any of the national stuff, which I suppose is a different strategy. Why go national when you don't need to?
Well, I think he's being really surgical on what he's doing. He's got a remarkably competent set of top advisors. They're people I've known for a number of years, and boy, they're smart. And, you know, and I know some of Hillary's people, and they're just committed to her, and they must see something I don't. I don't understand how you can be committed to Hillary Clinton. I mean, what objectively has she done? Has she accomplished?
It'll be interesting to see how this thing plays out. You know who I think has the most pressure? It's the moderator guy. Because he's getting it from both directions.
No, they've done a really good job of positioning that person where it's almost a no-win. Yeah. But we're living through a difficult time. This is a very important election, and it's fundamental to our country.
What I'm hoping for is there going to be more people engaged in the process. Registration, voting, all that kind of stuff.
Well, the press has been undergoing the Republicans. That was a giant voter suppression effort after the convention on Trump. It failed, but the press is really trying to tailor this election to their desires.
Time will tell, as they say. Thanks
yes,
for coming
indeed.
In.
Thank you, buddy.
Join us tomorrow morning for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out, make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you then.